But this morning, if you've got your Bibles with you, we have begun our journey through the book of Romans, and we are still in chapter 1, believe it or not. So if you would you once again stand in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord? And I'm going to read chapter 1, 1 through 7. This morning, though, our text is going to be 5 through 7. But I want to read it just to get it all kind of in a good context. So, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we'd like to just come before you and give you thanks, Lord. God, your grace, your mercy that you have bestowed upon us beyond our comprehension. Lord, you are worthy of all praise and worship and adoration. God, help us that every day, Lord, that we could rise up and that off of just the start of our day would be a desire to commune with you in the Word and to offer up our voices in prayer and in praise, God. And we'd begin each day, Lord, that it would be our desire that you would get glory in our lives. We pray this morning, Father. I pray for those that aren't here, those that are sick, those that are, you know, homebound. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would be with each one of them. And I pray that you'd be with everyone that's here, Lord. It's not by chance. It's not random. But it is by your providence that everybody's here that's here. And we pray that, God, in all things, that Christ would be just exalted today and that your word would be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, the title of this sermon this morning is called Grace, Apostleship, and Obedience. I want to give you just the points. I'm probably not going to remember these as I'm going through the text, but these are all done in pairs this morning. And the first point would be grace and apostleship. The second would be obedience and faith. The third would be the called and the beloved. And the fourth would be grace and peace. And that'd be the four points. So if you're a note taker, when we get there, when you hear those words, you're going to know that we're probably there, okay? Because I'm probably not going to remember it after that. Well, as we looked last week at the beginning of this, I'm just going to sum it up in a real quick way. We looked at the fact that Paul he considered himself the slave of God, or the slave of Jesus Christ. He'd been called to be an apostle, to preach the gospel primarily to the Gentiles, but to everybody in his pathway. And we talked about how that he was called, separated to the gospel of God. That's what our whole focus was. I want you to know that the entire book of Romans, the focal point of all of it is the gospel. I think I heard one preacher say that the word gospel, I think, is used 60 times in the book of Romans. I don't know if that's accurate, but I wouldn't doubt it. But when he talks about these things, he talks about the promise. You know, we think sometimes that the gospel started with the New Testament. But the good news started all the way back in Genesis. And God continually has shown us over and over and over. It's like a progressive revelation that God was saying, I'm going to save my people. And he just kept bringing a little bit bigger picture, a more clear picture, until the time that Christ came. And we look at these things and we come to verse 5. And we're going to look at this. Now listen to what he says. He says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. Now, I want you to understand something. In verse 5, we can read that very quickly, just like we did, but I want you to know that there is much in there to look at. The bulk of our message today is going to be in verse 5 right here. And so when he says through him, the him that he's speaking of is none other than Jesus Christ. And it's through Christ. And I want you to understand that all things that happen to us, that God has given to us, that God has blessed us with, everything comes through or by Christ. If you're blessed in your church or in your family or, you know, whatever it may be like that, you need to know and always put things in the right priority. Everything is through Christ. There's not anything. And so there's times that we can kind of go astray and we can kind of turn out of the way and we start giving the praise or whatever to other things. I remember going down to Walmart about a year ago, and oftentimes you'll see, I can't remember the name of it, these boys come up out of Texas, and they'll have some tables set up, and they'll have wooden crosses and leather bracelets, and what it is, it's a ministry down there that helps people get off drugs, and they preach the gospel and all these. And so I walked up one day, and I asked one of the young men, I said, "So tell me what your message is." And he began to say, "Man, if it wasn't for this," and I can't remember the ministry, he said, "Man, I wouldn't have no hope. I wouldn't even be saved or this or that." And it was pretty deflating, and I tried to, in a gentle way, tried to correct him. I said, "I understand what you're saying, but you need to get this right. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, none of these things would be true in your life." So we start right there with just through him, and he says, we have received grace and apostleship. And I want to read that all in one thing, because some people believe right here, because of the word apostleship in this verse, that Paul, when he talks about we, he's just talking about the apostles. But when he's talking about we right here, there's no indication that he's isolating himself and 12 other men. So he says that we have received, he is talking about us. He's talking to the Roman church at that time in particular, and it comes all the way down to you and I today, that this, that the we that has received the things he's going to tell us about is every believer. This is what we have received. You know, in one place in 2 Peter, he says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's going to tell us right here what it is that we have received. Now, I want you to understand something. When he says that we have received it, it makes us the recipients. It's not something that I went out and found and grabbed a hold of, but it was something that was given to me. Every Christian is a needy beggar, if you want to put it that way. We're standing here, and the only thing we can do is try to receive the good things of God. And God just lavishly pours out the riches of his grace and his mercy upon us. And so we are the recipients of, he says right here, we are the recipients of grace and apostleship. So here's what I want to do first of all. We're going to break this verse down, and then we're going to try to put it back together to make it look like an entire picture. But I want to talk to you about the grace today that we have received. First of all, when we think about grace, we think of it usually in one particular thing, and that is in salvation. We've been saved by grace. Amen? Isn't that what he tells us in Ephesians? Let me just go over here and read this real quick, just so you'll get a grasp of what he's talking about. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, he starts with this. He says in verse 1, he says, he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Preaching the gospel the other day, we were telling people about the good news. But in order to know that there's good news, you have to understand that there's some bad news that precedes that. And this is the bad news that came to every person who was ever born in this world outside of Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, in which we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Do you know, if you want to sum up those three verses, what he said was this. He said, you were dead in your sins, you were disobedient, you were depraved in your mind, your sins not only were sinful, but it just kept spiraling downward. And to finish it off, he says, you're damned. But in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So the first part of this grace is a saving grace. It's the grace that God has given to everyone who believes that they are no longer under the penalty and the power of sin. We're free from that. And it goes back to verse 1. We've been made slaves of Jesus Christ. Well, here's where we need to pick up, though, on grace. Not only does grace save us, but we also have been, we are recipients of a sanctifying grace. And I want you to, if you would, if you want to flip over with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, I want you to listen to this. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Here we are, we're back to salvation. I hear so many people say so many times, well, I'm saved by grace, it doesn't matter what I do. Well, it actually does matter what you do. Okay, I want you to know something. If you've truly been saved, then you are secure forever. Your salvation is once for all. It is eternal. But to make the statement that it does not matter what I do does not come from Scripture. Now, what they're trying to say is, well, I can't be saved by works, but I can tell you this. If you want to know if you've been saved by grace or not, listen to what grace teaches us. He says in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, I want you to listen to that. This is what it teaches us. We are to deny ungodliness. We are to deny worldly lust. And we should do these things. We should live in a sober way, a mind that is discerning, that we are aware of what's going on around us. We should live righteously and godly in this present age. That, my friend, is what the grace of God teaches us. Now listen, he goes on and he says, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, who gave himself for us. Now listen, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. And that's salvation again. And here's this sanctification. And purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. Now I want to ask you something. Are you growing in this sanctifying grace? Do you have a desire to live in a righteous way? Do you desire to live godly? Do you have a zeal and a desire to do the works that God has put before you? You see, because here's the thing in the Christian life. We start off and we are newborn, like just newborn babies in Christ. Nobody likes to be called a baby. If you don't like that, we'll use the biblical word and we'll just call you a babe. That even goes for you guys, okay? So here's the thing. We start off as an infant. We'll use that word to help out. And as we consume the Word of God, as we go to God in prayer, and we hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word, we begin to grow. We begin to exercise. Isn't it amazing how babies, when they, you know, it's not like they come out of the womb doing push-ups, right? But, you know, sometimes people, we try to just get them to be quiet, but you know that even that screaming sometimes, that's exercise. And if you don't think so, just poke their little belly, just not real hard, but just poke it. And I'm going to tell you, every muscle in that stomach is tensed up. They're exercising. It's not great exercise for us to have to listen to, but they're exercising, and they're just moving them arms. And before long, they're just crawling and going everywhere. Well, this grace that saves us and this grace that sanctifies us, it causes us to grow. And you see, the sanctification for the Christian is all about being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a third, I want to give you a third aspect of this grace. This grace not only saves us, it not only sanctifies us, but this grace also sustains us. Now listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 22, I want you to listen. I'm not going to read. No, I'm going to pick up in 23. This is Paul going to give a list of things that he has endured for the name of Christ. He says, are they ministers of Christ? He said, I'm speaking as a fool. He says, I am more. So meaning I am more of a servant of Christ than these guys who are trying to, you know, speak evil of me and try to win your favor. But he says, and here's how he says it. He says, in labors more abundant. Meaning that God had sent Paul on so many different journeys and labors and tasks. He said it's an abundance. In stripes above measure, meaning he had been whipped over and over and over. In prisons more frequently, in deaths more often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. If I'm not mistaken, I think, and somebody can correct me afterwards, not right now. But if I'm wrong, I'll tell you next week. But I believe that if you ever whipped a man 40 times, you could never whip him again. So the Jews would whip him 39 times so they could get him the next time too, if he continued in this. But I want you to think about being beaten and whipped 39 times. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And then he talks about in all these journeys of waters and all of these different things. And I'm not going to read all that. But he skips down to verse 28 and he says, besides the other things, he said, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And then he asked a question. He said, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation. He said, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. You see, I want you to understand something, that as we go through this Christian life, the grace that God saves us with, the grace that God is sanctifying us with, is the same grace that God is sustaining us with. Friend, I want you to know that every Christian is going to face persecutions. We're going to face opposition. And if we're not facing those things to some degree, we're not living the Christian life correctly. I want you to know something. There are no such things as secret agent Christians. You know, the undercover type that says, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm just not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm just going to do my own thing. There's no such thing as that. You need to understand that there's going to be opposition. But I want you to listen to this, though. When we talk about sustaining grace, in the next chapter, picking up in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, still on sustaining grace, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Now here's what we don't know. We do not know what this thorn in the flesh was. There's been people make many speculations. Some people said, well, it was like an appendicitis attack, like a thorn in the flesh. I doubt that one. Some people say it was possibly his eyesight was growing dim. That is very possible. I mean, if you're going to be sent out, it would be really good to be able to see, especially in that time, for sure. Others believe that it was opposition, just like the ones that are opposing Paul that he's writing about here. It could have been that. It could have been the messengers of Satan coming and always speaking against everywhere Paul went. He had this following him. And we see that through the book of Acts and such. Here's all we do know, though. We don't know what it was, but in verse 9, here's what he says. He had prayed three times. And I don't think Paul just in one day, just like, hey, it's the third time I prayed, I'm through praying about it. I think there was three periods in Paul's life where he really pleaded with God to take this from me, heal me, whatever it was. And here's what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. It is sufficient. God's grace is what sustains us in the midst of trials. Okay? So I want you to think about this. Now listen to what Paul finishes with. And when Jesus said that to him, Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Friend, I want you to know something. This grace that we have received through Jesus is that kind of grace. And it goes back to what Peter said. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, the next thing we look at is the word apostleship. Now, nobody in here would claim to be an apostle. The apostle Paul did in verse 1. He says, called to be an apostle. Now, the word apostle in that sense was somebody that was personally called and sent out by Jesus. But the word apostleship is a general call to all Christians. See, the word apostle means, it just simply means to be sent out for a specific call or mission or something like that. Every believer has been called to an apostleship. Every believer has that. You see, when you go back to Matthew in the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Now I'm getting into Mark. Go ye and make disciples of all nations. That's what he says in Matthew. In Mark, he says it in a little different way. But he says it's to go preach the gospel. I used to tell people this. You know, we talk about evangelism. We'd have a training session on how to evangelize. And I'd tell them, I'd say, I want you to know that evangelism is not for everybody. And you could see a sigh of relief coming over so many in the crowd. And I said, it's not for unbelievers. Evangelism is only for believers. But I want you to hear this. Evangelism is for all believers. Now, you know, you've heard me say it. You've seen videos and such that I go up on the streets and I preach. That's not what I mean. I don't mean that street evangelism is for all believers. You could be somebody that simply is placing a tract somewhere. You could be doing it like that. But the apostleship is when those times, those doors open, those opportunities are presented, we are the ones that being fueled and propelled by the grace of God. Not just that he saved us, but he's sanctifying us and he's sustaining us. His grace is sufficient for everything that he's calling us to do. Friend, I want you to think about something for a second. Think about the gospel that was proclaimed to you. Some of you might have been in a church service much like this. Some of you might have been at a church camp. Some of you might have been at work and a coworker or maybe somebody like that took the time to tell you the gospel. I want you to know something. There's nothing I love preaching more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not a one-man job. The very gospel message that you heard, that God used to hear, to penetrate your ears and prick your heart, is the same gospel that He has called you to go proclaim also. See, we talk about this grace and apostleship. You see, we are ambassadors for Christ. I'm going to go back to the second book of Corinthians. I'm trying to preach Romans, but I'm in Corinthians. I want you to listen to this, though. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says, now, in verse 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's another verse saying exactly what this verse over here in Romans is saying. Let me read it again. All things are of God. He's reconciled us to Himself through who? Through Christ. And He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's He given the ministry of reconciliation to? All of those that are in Christ. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is the gospel message. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The other day, I was headed to Brick Tower, the bus station, and I've told you before. There's times I've left there, and I've just kind of just. I didn't really throw up my hands because I was trying to drive. But in my mind, it was just like, is this even worth it? I mean, either people are really opposing us or people are just ignoring us. I mean, it's like, it seemed like one or the other. Now, the last couple times, we've had a lot of opposition. So as I'm driving up there, I'm praying for Brady. I'm praying for the missionary from Nepal, a guy named Daniel. I'm praying for Jamie and Ken and Trish. I'm praying for the whole team. And I said, Lord, soften somebody's heart today. Open somebody's ears that they could hear. Now, I don't know how many that might have applied to, but I can tell you about this one lady. It was the second time, the last time that I was preaching. And as I was scanning, just going back and forth, I noticed she's standing kind of on the corner across the street into the where you pull into the bus stop. And she's looking at the whole time. Now, she didn't look like a homeless person and different things, but it all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit just directs you in a different path, I just looked at her and I said, what about you, ma'am? What about you? Do you know today where you'd spend eternity? I said, are you born again? And she shook her head no. And I just began to plead with her that Jesus is inviting you today to come unto Him. You've been laboring, you're heavy laden, come to Him and He will give you rest. I said, I don't know what sins have you done, whether you're okay, maybe you're really bad. I don't know, only God knows and you know. And as I was pleading with her, she started walking across the street. It's as though God, working through us, pleading with people to be reconciled to Christ. She came over, I spoke just briefly, and I said, I want you to talk to Brady and Trish. He's a pastor up here. And after I got through preaching, they said, brother, she was so excited. She wants to come to church, and I pray to God that today at 1:30 she shows up. I know how those things work, but listen to this. We need to understand that we are, when he talks about apostleship, we've been sent. God generally has called every Christian to preach the gospel. Church, I can't encourage you enough. If you're afraid to, and you don't know how to do it, get with me. I'll have a class on it, however you want to do it. And I'm not saying I'm the know-it-all, but I'm saying this. I have crashed and burned so many times. I mean, it ain't always been smooth and easy. There's been times I was talking and it just kind of faded out. My buddy Justin goes, what was that? And I was like, I don't know what I was talking about. It happens at times. Praise God, it's gotten a lot better. But listen to what he says. Listen, we've received grace and apostleship, not just to receive it, but he says, for obedience to the faith among the nations. Listen to this. When we talk about obedience and faith, do you realize that every Christian comes to Christ by faith, right? Do you realize faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin? You cannot say, I have come to him in faith, and then be disobedient. And I'm not talking about one-time thing. I'm talking about your life does not reflect Christ at all. You cannot claim to be obedient and have no faith. You can't do those things. It doesn't work that way. Listen, obedient preaching. Obedient in preaching. Listen to what he says in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Listen to this. Peter is preaching in Solomon's porch. And this is after the man had been healed, the lame man that was sitting there at the temple, asking for alms, and he was asking for a little bit of money. And look what Peter says. He says, he's preaching, he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murder to be granted to you, and listen to this, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now I want you to listen to this closely. Peter came to Christ by faith. Christ sent him out. He says, when Peter denied Jesus those three times, he said, before he did, he said, I've already prayed for you that when you're strengthened, when you're converted, you go comfort your brother. But then he tells him, he says, you're going to go preach. You're going to be martyred for my name, Peter. And Peter is preaching. He is being obedient to what God has called him to. And I want you to listen to the preaching. We live in a time when it is so, man alive, it is so fluffy and cotton candy and stuff like that. I've heard people say, come up and go, you're being so judgmental to these people. I never said anything quite like what Peter just said. He said, you killed the Prince of Life. You think that was something that's going to go over real good with everybody? Folks, we need to be like this. Not to be just aggressive, but we need to be shaking people out of that slumber, out of that death. And listen to this. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now listen to this. This faithful preaching also is obedient. It's obedient preaching. It's obedient in persecution. You see, right after this, they were called in by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would have been the elders, the rulers, the scribes. It had been all of those that were in power amongst the Jews. And they bring them in, and I want you to listen to this. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, listen to what happens. He says, and when they had set them, talking about Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, they said, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, listen, there we go again. By what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we are this day judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. Now, I want you to think about this. They are standing before those they can have them beaten, whipped, even probably put to death. I'm going to skip on down, and I want you to listen to this. In verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And here's what Peter and John respond with. They answered and they said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, we need to be obedient to preach the word, faithful in that. We need to be obedient when persecution has come our way. To stand firm, to stand strong in where God has called us. I was sharing with somebody the other night that I said, have you ever seen the movie about Richard Wurmbrand? I can't remember the name of it right now. What is it, Rick? Tortured for Christ. I said, if you've not seen that, you ought to watch that. You talk about being faithful and obedient. Friend, as Christians, this is some of the grace that we have received. This is what we've received from Jesus Christ. What is your life? See, Jesus gave the invitation, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. That is the invitation. It is an invitation to come and die. If we are those of faith, then we must be faithful. And those that are faithful will be obedient. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about anything like that. But I'm talking about faith and obedience, obedience and faith. And they go hand in hand. Two sides, both sides of the same coin. But he says it like this, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. For all nations. In Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world. In Acts chapter 1:8, he tells them this. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Friend, we have been called to take this to the world, to take it everywhere. We just read, he says, and what's the reason for? For his name. We just read where Peter was saying, in the name of Jesus, for his name, by his name. Do we realize that there's only one name that we can be saved by, and that is the name of Jesus Christ? There's no other name that you can be saved by. So much of the time, I mean, it's like this. People will say, it's just not right if people who've never heard of Jesus, if they die and they go to hell, it's not fair. Friend, I want you to know something. People don't go to hell because they did not hear the gospel. That's not why they go to hell. People go to hell because they're sinners, because they're lost, and they're condemned already. And if you think it's not fair, if it's not fair for that to happen, then by all means, get on your knees and say, Lord, here am I, send me. I want you to think about this. There's 1.4 billion people in India and in China. I think India has recently passed up China just by a little bit. Do you realize the 0.4 is more people than there are in the United States of America? We only have about 360 million. The 0.4 is 400 million. Friends, we must go in the name of Jesus, proclaiming the name of Jesus, that salvation is only comes through the name of Jesus. And it is all done for the glory of the name of Jesus. We need to be, listen, but before we start venturing out, we need to be faithful right here where we live. Right here is our Jerusalem. Right here. How many years have we lived by our neighbors and never told them one word about the gospel? How long have we worked with people we've never shared anything with them? Have we received this grace and apostleship? Have we received it for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name? I mean, is that talking about us? Because if we've been born again, it is talking about us. Now listen to this. Speaking here with these Romans, he says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. He's talking, it's like he's writing a letter to them, and it's like they could picture everybody else, but he says, among whom you also are called. That picture over there makes me think. I watched a movie the other day, and it's not the greatest, you know, it's a little, the filming and stuff's a little old and such, but it's a movie called Over the Next Mountain, I think, or Beyond the Next Mountain. And way back in the early 1900s, a missionary had gone to this place in India. I think it was India. Wherever it was somewhere like that. And this guy had gone into these tribes that was some of the most vicious. They were headhunters, and they said, don't go in there. And this one missionary went in there. And they just called him the Great White Missionary or something. I don't even think they knew his name. I mean, they just kind of referred to him as that. But he went in there and preached the gospel, and people got saved. He planted a church. But this tribe had no known language. They had no alphabet. They had no writings. It was just kind of like the Alcas that the Eliots and the Saints and all those went into. And then at some point, the government had banned him. They had pulled him out, said it was too dangerous, and they'd kicked him out. And he came back to America. And this story picks up when there's this one man's a pastor, and he has a son that's about 8 or 9 years old. And he says, we've got to have our own Bible. We've got to have a language. And he tells his son to go through the jungles. I mean, there's tigers, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, he goes, he's like 9 years old. Goes on 3 or 4 night deal through the jungles. And he makes it to a school, and he learns. And he becomes a teacher. And he winds up going to somewhere like Ireland or England or somewhere, and he learns there. And then somebody hears about him, and they take him to Chicago, and he learns. And while he's there, he discovers that the man, the white missionary, lived in Chicago, or lived in Canada. Wasn't too far from where he was. And he went up there and met him. And he says, how come you never came back? And he began to tell him how they'd kicked him out. And he didn't know whatever became of the work. And the young man said, there have been 85 churches planted. 85 churches without a Bible. I want you to think about that. Do you think God is able to take you, who's educated, who probably has more than one Bible? We have a click of a button and we can get all the information we want on something. Do you think he's able to take us who've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for his name? When God can take a man to preach the gospel, see people get saved, and they in turn go and preach the only gospel they know, and people come into Christ. And while this young man was in Chicago, he put together the final stages of a Bible in their own language. And he had them shipped over there. I ain't going to lie. When that part showed up, when those Bibles showed up, and that old man, his dad, grabbed that first Bible, it choked me up. Man, they were so, so full of joy and thankfulness. But they took what they had, and they were faithful, and they were obedient, and they preached the name of Jesus to their own people in that place that no white man, nobody could go to. And God was moving amongst those people. He says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So these next ones, we are called and beloved. Listen, first of all, you were called of Jesus Christ. Meaning this, that He has set you out. He has taken you out of the world. He has placed you in Himself, for Himself, and for His glory. And then listen to what He calls you. He says, beloved of God. This is like a term of endearment. It's like saying, you who are much loved by God. You're like God's treasure. This is the way God views you as His child. This is what He's saying about us. He's called us now to be saints. So Jesus has set us apart out of sin, out of this world, for Himself. Now He says He's called us to be separated unto the purpose and the work of God. He's saying, you, even you Roman believers, this same thing that we have been involved in, this is for you too. And it will come right down to this. You who are here at Bowlegs First Baptist Church, you have been called by Jesus Christ. You are beloved of God, and you are called to be separated for the work of Jesus Christ. That's your position in Christ. Do you see how, listen, do you know there's no greater thing to be than a slave of Jesus Christ? Do you know there's no greater work to do than proclaim the gospel? People look at somebody like that's a pastor as like some kind of like, oh, you're a pastor. And you got lawyers, attorneys, you know, engineers, all these things. And we think that's, friends, I'm going to tell you something. You may be the most brilliant rocket scientist in all the world, but if you're lost, you are nothing. You've got a lot of knowledge that amounts to nothing. But you could be just some guy in a jungle in India somewhere that does not even have a known language that you could write or read or anything. No alphabet, nothing. But if you're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no higher position available than that to mankind. That is who we are. So he says this. He finishes it with this. He says, grace to you and peace. This same saving grace, this same sanctifying grace, this same sustaining grace. It is yours. And the peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that you are no longer at enmity with God. You're no longer God's enemy. But you have been brought in. You have been reconciled. Jesus has become your propitiation, meaning that His sacrifice, His death on the cross, His resurrection, it appeased the Father's wrath against you. And you have now received peace. Now, don't misunderstand this. This peace does not mean that we just have this easy life. No, what it means is this. That we're in the heat, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials. You could start with just things like it could be a death in the family, it could be sickness, it could be ailments, it could be a loss of a job, it could be many things. You, Christian, can still find the peace of God ruling and reigning in your heart. When persecution comes your way and opposition comes and they try to stop everything that you're doing, the peace of God is still ruling and reigning in the Christian's heart. Brethren, listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, he says, be anxious for nothing. He's saying, I don't want you to worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. No matter what is going on in your life, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever it may be, here's what he's telling you. He says, you need to be in prayer. You need to be more specifically praying for things specifically. And you're doing this with thanksgiving, letting God know all of your requests. And listen to what he says. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's like saying, how in the world can we comprehend this person that is going through such a difficult time that there's such a sweet peace about them? That no matter what's going on, you see that, you hear about this a lot of times when somebody is really going through a heart. You know, there was a young man over in Stratford. In his 30s, he'd finally gotten married, and I think, I'm pretty sure him and his wife's first baby was on the way. Matter of fact, I think he had just turned 40. And he got, I think it was cancer. And it was terminal cancer. I mean, think about this. He just got married. First time. A baby's on the way. And now he knows he's going to die. Can you imagine? You could possibly want to be bitter over that. Angry. But the nurses talked about how he continually was at peace. How he continually encouraged them. How he continually told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That only through the name of Jesus could they be saved. They said he was our favorite patient. We couldn't believe that knowing he was going to die, knowing that he was only going to see his baby for a few days, that this was going to be the end of his life, and he was at such peace. This, friends, is what we have received. This, as Christians, is what we have received.